Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors.
So, well, happy new year, everyone. Good morning. I am excited about this particular message. I feel like it's probably been years in the making as I've studied this particular content today. We are in a series called God Has a Name. Similar to us, our names are important. Well, God's name is important. He, in fact, has several descriptive names. The names are significant because they tell us who God is, who he was, and who he always will be. They call to mind the unchanging character and nature of God and invite us to know an aspect of God better through each particular name. Psalm 9, verse 10 says this, "Those who know your name trust in you, for you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you." I love that. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. I don't know about you, but I'm constantly on the search for God. And there's so much comfort in knowing that when we know his name, he's right there for us. Last week, we were introduced to Emmanuel through the birth of Jesus. And Emmanuel literally means God with us. That's what we celebrated on Christmas Eve last week. God being born in the person of Jesus. God with us in human form. And Steve mentioned that one way to know God better is to know Jesus better. So today we're going to look at a name that has been given to God since ancient times. It's the name Shepherd. Shepherd, maybe you caught some theme in the music this morning. Shepherd. And specifically, we're going to look at the Good Shepherd. Shepherding was a common profession, and the Bible often refers to human beings as sheep. It's a metaphor that would be easy for people back then to relate to, and they would generally understand the imagery of sheep and shepherding and the stories that were told associated with that. It might be a little bit more challenging for us. Most of us don't own sheep or haven't been shepherds in our lives, but it's not impossible for us to know. And so we're going to see what we can learn about sheep today, what we can learn about shepherds, and the character of God as our good shepherd. This is going to require you to use your imaginations a little bit and see ourselves as sheep and shepherds. And I've brought a few with me. I made a few sheep. Cotton balls and wiggly eyes. Gracie helped me put the eyes on as I burned my hands with hot glue. So here's my sheep for today. And then I realized they fall over really easily because they're cotton balls. So I brought, thankfully it's still Christmas, I brought one from one of my nativity scenes at home. And I brought a shepherd. So they're going to help us today, sheep and shepherds. I studied quite a few primary resources for this. We're going to look at Psalm 23. I read a book years ago called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. This tiny little book is life-changing. I highly recommend it. It's written by Philip Keller, and he was a shepherd, and he shares with us in great visual imagery what Psalm 23 looks like from a shepherd's perspective. I also picked up a book called The Good Shepherd, A Thousand-Year Journey from Psalm 23 to the New Testament by Kenneth Bailey. Fascinating read, and I know not everyone has time to read a thousand years of history, so I'm hoping to share some of that with you today. What was unique about it, it was written from a Middle Eastern perspective. Consider where Israel is and what it looks like to be a shepherd in the Holy Land, and so it was such a good read. And then we're going to look at John 10 today as well, so we have a lot to cover. Psalm 23, I chose the ESV version today. Years ago when I read this book, I felt challenged to just memorize Psalm 23 myself. It's six small verses, and I felt, I can do this. I can memorize this. And so that's the version I memorized, so that's why we're going to use that today. It's a Psalm of David. David is known as the Shepherd King. He's in the lineage of Jesus. So if you trace Jesus' lineage back, you'll see David's name there. There are entire books, as I've already shared, and Bible studies devoted to these six verses in the Bible. We could spend 12 weeks on this one psalm. We are going to spend a short time today looking at it. Shepherding in the Middle East falls into two categories. There's semi-nomadic shepherds of large herds of sheep, and they spend months away from their villages grazing in open pasture land. I think I might have a picture. Do we have pictures today? Maybe. Oh, there it is. I got to go to Israel in Christmas Day 2019, and this is very real for today. This is what it still looks like for those nomadic shepherds out in the fields of the Holy Land. The other option would be settled village families who own just a few sheep and keep them near their home. Now, coming off the Christmas story, it's very possible that there were shepherds of both category in that story. Those shepherds that were keeping watch over their flocks by night when the angels came were probably these nomadic shepherds out in the fields. While the location where Jesus was born could have easily been the place where their local family would have housed small sheep, a small group of sheep. He was, birthed not within the home. There was no room anywhere for them, right? And so if you study it, you see that his family probably housed him in the outer space where their small herd of sheep might have been. Characteristics of sheep. Let's look at a couple of those today. Sheep require an endless attention and meticulous care. Okay, we are sheep, remember. They require endless attention and meticulous care. Now, as I was thinking about that, we certainly need that care as infants and children, but I wonder how much care and attention we might need today, even as adults. We still need that. And there are two kinds of shepherds that we're going to look at today, those that care for the sheep. There's a good shepherd. He cares for his herd, and he wants them to flourish and thrive. He leads them, and they follow him. There's the not-so-good shepherd, or the hired hand. They drive their sheep from behind with a stick, and those sheep may be prone to struggle, starvation, and hardship. You know, shepherds did not get a lot of respect back then, but their role was really important. I was wondering if perhaps it was because they were stinky and dirty that they didn't get a lot of respect. It was a really hard job. It was tedious to be out caring for a large group of sheep. You saw that out there. I imagine it was dirty, monotonous, boring to be a shepherd at times. Same thing day in and day out. But they were responsible for their flock. They were responsible for these sheep, and it was a really important job. If we have, no matter how big or small, it would have been important. It was their livelihood to look after the sheep or someone else's sheep. You know, any leadership role we have today, we would be considered the shepherds of those groups of people. I was thinking about that even this morning. Who am I shepherding today? As a parent, maybe my family. As an employee, maybe I've got people that work around me or underneath me. A teacher, life group leader, police officers, firemen, any profession, anyone who potentially would be following you in any way, shape, or form, you would be a shepherd over. So we have a lot to learn. We're both the sheep and the shepherd. So let's start with Psalm 23. David says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David, as we mentioned, was a shepherd, and he knew what shepherding was like intimately. He was out keeping watch over his father's sheep when the prophet Samuel came to anoint him the next king of Israel. They didn't even, his own family didn't even consider it too important to look for him because they're like, where is he? Oh, he's out watching the sheep. But he was anointed the next king of Israel. He was the sole caregiver of this herd of helpless and needy animals, these animals that needed a lot of attention. He knew what it meant to be their caregiver, and he learned lots of skills and life lessons that he would no doubt use in his role as king of Israel. God was preparing him as the role of shepherd for his future role as king. He would go from leading sheep to leading people. He was a nomadic shepherd out on his own, and he talks about protecting his sheep from lions and bears. In some of the scripture, it says, "I single-handedly killed them." I don't even know what that looks like. I've only seen those in the zoo, and I know for sure I'm not going to try to take one of those on. He then took on the giant Goliath and killed him by himself with a stone and a sling. Those experiences served him well even before he became the king of Israel. All of those were so important. And yet he proclaims right here in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." For David, this was a bold and confident claim about who God was as his shepherd. The Lord was the source of his security in the midst of many dangers where there was no other help available. Think about that for a second. No other help was available, and he relied on the Lord as his shepherd. As sheep, okay, as sheep, are we mindful of the meticulous care and endless attention that the Lord gives us in good times, in difficult situations, when no other help is available? Sometimes we can feel so alone. I know I have, especially in hard times when Tony was sharing, like, sometimes I just feel alone. And then I remember I'm not. The good shepherd, he's there with me. As shepherds, are we following God's example and offering meticulous care and attention to those that we lead? Another characteristic of sheep is that they're high maintenance and can easily get lost or in trouble. This one made me laugh. I envision my teenage years specifically, my young 20s, and when I easily got lost and in trouble. There was no GPS back then. I got lost all the time, even just driving around. And oftentimes did get in trouble because, you know, when we're young, we try things and have a more adventurous spirit. So maybe we find ourselves in need of help. And I still have high maintenance moments and can get lost today. This doesn't seem to go away with age. But Psalm 23 tells us what a good shepherd will do. He says in verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Sheep need to lie down to maintain good health. They need to lie down to maintain good health, which is interesting considering how much of us struggle to rest and sleep well. Isn't that interesting? They need it and we need it. Sheep can only lie down in green pastures if all their needs are met. This means that they're well fed and watered. And I thought, yeah, it's hard for me to sleep if I'm hungry or thirsty. They need to be free from tension and aggravation, like annoying flies and insects. And I thought, what bugs us and keeps us up at night? Get it? What bugs us? Flies. If there's anything that causes them fear, they won't lie down. And I thought, yeah, I've lost sleep because of anxiety and fear before. Man, we're so like sheep, aren't we? And the sheep's only security, because they're pretty much helpless animals, is the shepherd. That's their only security, is a shepherd. David's only security was the Lord. Who does our security lie in? Who does our security lie in? Because sheep have no real way to defend themselves, if they get separated or lost or injured, the threat from enemies is very real. It's very real if they're off by themselves. You know, Satan loves to attack us when we are weak, depleted, or struggling, when we try to go off on our own. That's his favorite time to attack us. Well, let's talk about lost sheep for a second. So one of these sheep is lost. We'll put him over here. I'm lost. Once a sheep knows that it's lost, all the way over here, when they realize it, it tries to hide under a bush or a rock, and it starts quivering and bleating, bah, you know, all the screaming a sheep does. The shepherd must locate it quickly before it is heard, found, or killed by what? A wild animal, right? Before it's killed or found by a wild animal. The louder it bleats, that's probably a bigger problem. Okay, well, a cast sheep is another issue. So that's when the sheep is upside down. And this can happen quite frequently, actually, as I was doing the research. It can get turned over and it physically cannot roll itself back over. It's not even possible. And this is bad because when it's lying on its back with its feet in its air, flailing and frantically struggling without success, it will bleat loud again. And like certain things inside the sheep start to cause it to die. So the shepherd has to find the sheep very quickly. And again, it alerts it to predators the louder it bleats. Under the care of a good shepherd, the sheep has a chance. Under the care of a good shepherd has a chance. I read that if a shepherd sees birds circling around, it knows that a sheep is probably upside down and it needs to quickly go out. it heads out right away. And he even leaves the rest of the sheep who are all upright to get out there and help this sheep. One of the authors notes that the literal translation for restores my soul in this psalm is that it is he brings me back. The sheep is lost and the good shepherd is obliged to go after it and find it. And then on being found, it usually is too traumatized to walk and the shepherd carries it back. So it carries it back. You've seen that picture of the shepherd with the over the shoulders of the sheep over the shoulders of the shepherd. That's what that imagery is for. It's like a parable that Jesus told, as recorded in Luke. Luke 15 says this: Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent, or perhaps don't think they need to repent. He goes after the sheep, the one. He leaves all these guys that are upright and flips this one back over. Early Christian Roman artwork, back as far as the 3rd or 4th century, it depicts the shepherd carrying the sheep on his shoulders. There's one that I found. This was understood and very meaningful. As you consider this now, doesn't that make this so much more impactful as you read God's word? The good shepherd would even massage the animal's legs to try to get it feeling good again and care for it tenderly until it was able to get back on its feet. One of the authors noted that we know this, we live in uncertain times. Any moment can bring disaster, danger, distress, life full of hazards. We live either in a sense of anxiety, fear, and foreboding, which is when we get flipped upside down. We're cast or lost away from the shepherd. Or we can live in a sense of quiet rest, knowing that the shepherd is by our side and he'll care for us. There's nothing like Christ's presence to dispel the fear, the panic, and the terror of the unknown. His presence can help us with all that. As sheep, have you ever been lost or afraid? I know I have. Or felt like you've fallen and you can't get back up on your own 2 feet by yourself? I just want to encourage you, Jesus, our good shepherd, he'll come after you. He comes after us because he cares for us. Whether we are literally lost or perhaps emotionally in need of being seen or found, we have hope in Jesus. If needed, he will joyfully pick us back up and carry us back to safety. He'll help us get back on the right track. I was wondering, as shepherds, is there someone you can help get back on their feet? Is there someone you can encourage and point toward a better path? The right path? Psalm 23, verse 4 says this: Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sheep will walk through dark valleys, and the presence of enemies is very real. But the shepherd will lead, guide, protect, and comfort them on that journey through that valley. Perhaps the question is, will they follow? Will they follow? Characteristics of sheep. They are known to be stubborn and stupid. Can anyone relate to having moments of that? This definitely describes me. They're easily startled and distracted. I think that we can relate to the easily distracted piece in today's world. They have a mass mind or mob instinct mentality. Basically, that means they're susceptible to group influence. Do you or have you followed a crowd? I was thinking about the last time I left a concert. I was stuck in a crowd. I was hoping I was going the right direction to my car. We know what it means to follow a crowd. I read multiple stories of sheep who insisted on doing things their own way, even though it wasn't good for them. From relentlessly trying to get into other fields, to drinking dirty water, to repeatedly falling back into the same hole or ditch. I have a video for you. Yeah. Come on. Yep, that sheep is stuck in that ditch. That's good. Oh. In slow motion. Can you relate? Do you ever find yourself jumping right back into the same ditch? Sometimes sheep ignore and disregard their shepherd and they go their own way. And because they're susceptible to group influence, it doesn't end well. It doesn't end well. Keller notes in this, in his Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, that one stray dog can cause an entire herd to jump up and even run off if it's not stopped by an alert shepherd. An alert shepherd. Interesting. There was a story in 2005, I don't know if you heard of it or not, but numerous news agencies, including the Washington Post, reported a story near the village of Givas in eastern Turkey. While shepherds were sitting there eating their breakfast, one of their sheep jumped off a 45-foot cliff to its death. Then, as the stunned shepherds looked on, the rest of the flock followed. In all, 1,500 sheep mindlessly jumped off this cliff. The only good news was that the last 1,000 were cushioned in their fall by the growing woolly pile of those who jumped first. I have so many questions about this story. So many questions. You know, in all honesty, it was devastating for the people there. I read that it was estimated that they lost around $100,000 in value from those sheep that did die, which is a lot of money for us today, but these people earned an average of $2,700 a year. That's a lot. I can't help but wonder if these shepherds were hired hands. Hold that thought for a few minutes. And the story of these sheep came to mind as earlier this month, we were out, we went to the symphony, and we were in line to park. And I watched the driver of a car get so impatient that he chose to drive on the wrong side of the road, against traffic, to try and bypass everyone else. Then a car followed, and another car, and another car. Like, that's the wrong side of the road. What are you doing? The one impatient, stubborn person influenced all sorts of other people that they certainly didn't know the first driver. They just went after him, followed him the wrong way. I'm not sure if there was a head-on collision that night or not. We chose to make a quick left turn and go find a different parking lot to go into. But it was struck by how similar we were to sheep. We will follow people the wrong direction. So as we consider the mob mentality of those sheep, or even those dumb drivers who went down the wrong side of the road, what areas of our lives are we prone to stubbornness, going our own way, or following a crowd in the wrong direction? What area are we prone to stubbornness, going our own way, or following a crowd in the wrong direction? I would propose that following a good shepherd is probably a better option, even or especially when it's the opposite way of others that are going to jump off a cliff. As shepherds, how can we be more alert and attentive, helping guide our sheep through difficult and trying circumstances and situations? Psalm 23, verse 5 says this, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is characteristics of a good shepherd right here. He cares for his sheep in the midst of danger. He protects them from predators and enemies. He guides and leads them where they need to go. That's what we see right there. The image of the good shepherd in ancient times and of first Christians would suggest the recovery of lost sheep, tender care and protection, leading to greener pastures and fresh water. It would indicate a sacrifice of life. And by life, it might literally mean life, but it can mean time, resources, anything that you sacrifice to care for the flock that you've been put in charge of. That would be the sacrifice. And in a word, the whole picture of this good shepherd would lead towards a savior. You'd look at the shepherd, the good shepherd, as a savior. Who is this good shepherd? Well, Richard Trench, I'm sorry, I just turned the page before I remembered the name of his book, says this, it's Notes on the Parables of Our Lord. He says this, and I thought this was so impactful. "On no one image does the early church seem to have dwelt with greater delight than this of Christ as the good shepherd bringing home his lost sheep. Christ is thus portrayed as bringing back a lost sheep to the fold upon his shoulders. Christ appears in the same character of the good shepherd. And we see in, it's called bas reliefs on sarcophagi and in paintings and in the catacombs, and you can, here's a picture I have of going all the way back to the 3rd century, of that shepherd caring for his sheep, his lost sheep. Jesus tells us he is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. John 10, he says this, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Your name is important. The good shepherd knows your name. "After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice." The good shepherd, he doesn't need to hop the fence to get to his sheep. The gate is open. He comes in after them. They hear his voice and they recognize it and they follow him. He can, in the open wilderness of Israel, shepherds walk slowly ahead of their sheep. And they either play a pipe or they have a song that they sing and their sheep know to follow them. And they seem to be primarily just intrigued by the voice of their shepherd. There's a story that goes that was told. It says, during the riots in Palestine in the middle 30s in a village of Haifa, it was condemned to collective punishment by having its sheep and cattle sequestered by the government. The inhabitants were, however, invited to come back and redeem their sheep at a fixed price. Among them was an orphan, and his few sheep were all that he had, 6 or 8 of them. And he somehow obtained the amount of money required for their redemption. So he went to the big enclosure, and he gave them the money, and he offered them, so then he was allowed get his sheep. But the leaders of the military there laughed and said, "Take whichever ones you want. There's no way you're going to find your sheep." He pulled out his pipe and he played that tune, and his 6 to 8 sheep came right out of those hundreds and came right to him. How incredible is that? I love that story. The good shepherd, a good shepherd, cares for his sheep so much that he sacrifices for them. He calls them by name and they recognize his voice. Jesus says this, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good sheep sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice and there will be one flock with one shepherd." I love that verse specifically because Jesus is talking to Israel, but then he's also saying, come on, I'm going after the Gentiles as well. I'm going to have one flock and I will be the shepherd of all of them. The hired hand or the bad shepherd, we need to recognize that. And did you hear what Jesus said about them? He runs away when trouble comes, abandons his sheep, sacrifices the sheep for self, is only in it for the money and profit, and doesn't really care about the sheep. The good shepherd. The good shepherd. He leads them where they need to go. They follow him because they know his voice. He saves his sheep and leads them to green pastures. He provides rich and satisfying life for them. He sacrifices his life for his sheep. He knows his sheep and they know him. Remember that story earlier of the 1,500 sheep that jumped off the cliff? What kind of shepherd did they have with them that day? I wonder. Although sheep do not have a choice on who their shepherd is, as humans, we do have a choice of which shepherd, of which leaders we will follow, of the kind of shepherd and leader we will be. Are we following the good shepherd? Are we following his example? Whose voice are we listening to and following? Do you know and listen for the good shepherd's voice? in today's world, I suspect that the noise around us and the culture around us can affect our listening skills at times. So how can we do this? How can we listen for the shepherd's voice and hear it clearly? Well, to become familiar with the shepherd's voice means spending time with the good shepherd. We have to spend time with the good shepherd. And how can we do that? We can allocate time to read. What should we read? God's word. This right here, the Bible. It's the best way to get to know our shepherd better and to hear his voice. We're kicking off a new year tomorrow. Might be a good time to sign up and do one of those Bible reading plans and read through this in a year. Maybe pick up another good book. I do recommend this tiny one as a devotion, or maybe the Names of God book that Steve recommended last week. You can spend time in prayer. When we spend time in prayer and it's quiet, we can tune out the other voices that are around us and practice listening for the good shepherd's voice. I'd encourage you to sign up for 24 hours of prayer. We have the sign-up board in the back, and the online sign-up will be ready this week sometime. Listen to sermons. You're here today. I'm preaching to the flock today. But we do this each weekend. You can hear the shepherd's voice each weekend right here and online. Listen to good podcasts. And I want to encourage you, discuss God's word with others. Find someone else you can talk about these things with. Someone in your family, friends, join a life group where you can wrestle with the concepts about the God and the good shepherd that might be hard to understand and relate to. An awareness of our good shepherd can make a huge difference in our lives. It can make a huge difference to who we follow and the type of shepherd we become. Are you mindful of the meticulous care and endless attention that the Lord gives you in good times, difficult times, and when no other help is available? Are you feeling lost or afraid? Like you've fallen and you can't get back up on your own? Do you need help getting back on the right track? What areas of your life are you prone to stubbornness, going your own way, or following a crowd in the wrong direction? Are you listening for the good shepherd's voice and then choosing to follow him? We have to choose to follow the good shepherd. Our good shepherd is aware of our circumstances, and he's with us. It's our choice whether we're going to follow him or not. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, our good shepherd, gosh, Lord, we thank you so much for this time to get to know you better through your word. Your word says that those who know your name trust in you. For you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. God, we're searching for you, and we thank you that you know us by name and you love us. As we search for you, Lord, I just pray that you would reveal more of your character and nature to us. Allow us to grow and learn who you are so that others can see you too. Thank you for loving us and caring for us through every and any situation. Give us the hope that we need to be delivered from fear as we remember that you have everything under control, even when they might appear out of control. Help us prioritize listening for your voice, Jesus. Help us to follow our good shepherd wherever you lead as we finish this year and as we step into the next one. God, I pray your abundant blessing over every single person here. May we hear your voice more clearly every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.